You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Dropping the Gloves, the official podcast of hockeyfights.com. Haven't said it in a while, but the fights are back, Tim. If you want to see a good dust up, go to hockeyfights.com, right, Tim?
There's been a bunch already, even 3 days into the season.
Well, what's a bunch? Because it's funny, I was doing our predictions podcast a few weeks back, and I was predicting fights, and I was looking at, you know, fights from last year and the year prior. It's like, what's a bunch these days? Like back in the day, the preseason, you'd have like seven fights a game, and a bunch of fights would have been five fights in a game. Now a bunch is like one fight over a night. Is that a bunch?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm paying more attention because of hockey fights, but it seems like there's more fighting so far this year. Again, it's only been 3 days, but compared to what we saw last year.
Brendan Lemieux, that little stinker, he's came out of the gate flying. He's got a couple fights under his belt already, but yeah, it's nice to see. I enjoy a good fist of cuffs. So it's what has there been? Let me see. There's been five. So that's a good start. None of them really of mention, you know, that have been really, really good fights. I guess the Vince Dunn fight was okay. The Seattle fight, he buried somebody on Nashville. And then someone came running over some big Russian kid and kind of took care of Vince Dunn. It was a decent fight. But other than that, like Brendan Lemieux it wasn't even a good fight. But there has been some fights, which has been nice. It's nice to see a little passion back in the game. But other than that, I know, what did you think of the first week is almost done. I think we have a couple more days left. What is your first impression? The Montreal Canadiens are done, right? They've lost their first two. So I think we can write them off. The Arizona Coyotes, everybody forgot how bad they were. And they were playing a bad team in the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they just got their wheels and doors and steering wheel and everything in the car beaten off of them. Like it was a shellacking 8-2. Poor Arizona. They might not win a game all season. Everyone was sleeping on them, focusing on how bad Buffalo was going to be. And boy, oh boy, did the Coyotes look every bit of the worst team in the NHL last night. And everybody's talking about, oh, Ottawa's going to be bad. Buffalo's going to be bad. They're going to make the playoffs, Tim. They looked great. Buffalo absolutely worked the Montreal. Who did they play? Montreal?
Who did they play last night? Yeah, Montreal, 5-1.
They worked Montreal. Ottawa took the Maple Leafs lunch money. They looked really, really good. Toronto looked disinterested for the first two periods. Not a good look for Toronto. I'm kind of all over the place right now. I'm just bouncing around. But, man, Toronto, two games in a row. Starting both games, just absolutely terrible. Their first game versus Montreal, their first period was awful. This game versus Ottawa, the first two periods were awful. So if I'm Toronto, that's a concerning stat. And then you add on to that, Peter Mrazek gets injured. We don't know how long he's out. You're stuck with Jack Campbell, who he has looked really good in four periods of action. But if you're going to rely on him the whole season, not a good look. Montreal, we'll dig into all of those. Let's start with the Boston Bruins, Tim. How happy were you when you saw this deal get done? Charlie McAvoy basically signs his life away to the Boston Bruins. 8 years, 9.5 per. It's a lot of money. It's the biggest amount of money the Boston Bruins have ever, ever, ever given out to one player in their storied history. We're talking Ray Bourque. We're talking Cam Neely's. We're talking the who's who of hockey players, Pasternak and all these guys. Charlie McAvoy has set the new bar for amount of money given out to a Boston Bruin. What were your initial thoughts? You're a Boston insider, Tim. What was there? Is Boston excited for this signing?
Well, of course they are. And I mean, this is my first gut reaction was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Because from a negotiation standpoint, right, when this contract kicks in next year, he'll be the third highest paid defenseman in the NHL behind Doughty and Carlson. So if like, that's the high end of what he's going to be making, right? Like if I'm McAvoy, I'm starting at 9.5. That's where I'm coming at. It's almost like the Bruins even negotiate, right? Like maybe the Bruins start at 8.5 or 8.2 or eight, and they meet at like nine or high eight or something. So 9.5, it's a lot of money, but he's worth it. He really is. Like, the advanced stats guys will tell you, he's the best defenseman in the league at 5-on-5. The knock on him, he doesn't have a ton of power play production, doesn't put up a ton of points. But I think that'll change, especially now with Forbert being his D partner. I think the Bruins have gotten a little bit better. So hopefully he'll start to put up a little bit more points. But he's going to be the cornerstone of their defense, their blue line, for the next, 8 years that he signed? It's basically the whole length of his prime. And really all he has to do is just keep doing what he's doing. He's already, by any measure, one of the best production, best defensemen in the leagues. So, yeah, I'm pumped. Boston's going to be very excited about that.
Yeah, the thing with this situation is Charlie had the Bruins, like, he had them right where he wanted them. They walked away from Torrey Krug last year. He was supposed to be their guy for a long time. So they needed to keep Charlie McAvoy. If they could not keep him, they were looking pretty, pretty grim. So Charlie knew he had a little leverage when it came down to the negotiation. So as it stands right now, I don't think, you know, you can throw around all these advanced stats and everything. Do you think he's a top three defenseman in the NHL at this point? Do you think he's a top five defenseman? Where do you think he ranks, you know, out of all the Heiskanens, the Makars, the Hedmans, these top end guys? Where does McAvoy fall? Is he in the top tier, or is he just outside the Roman Yossis of the world? Where does he fall in your mind?
I would put him top five. Yeah. I mean, if you got to think all situations, right? Like offense, defense, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, neutral zone, defensive zone. Like, if you take that all into consideration, I would put him in the top five. And some would put him in the top three, and some would put him 5 to 10, you know, but I think he's probably like a 4 or 5 in the league right now.
I think that's a generous, that's a homer take on him. I think he's probably 7 to 10, 7 to 15 defenseman right now, but he could grow. I think what people forget about Charlie McAvoy is when you think of him, it's like, well, gosh, he's been with the Bruins forever. He's got to be 26, 27. He's only 23 years old. So he still has a lot of time to grow into his game. He grew a lot last year. He was basically thrown the keys to the Boston Bruins defensive group. Brandon Carlo got hurt. They lost Torrey Krug. Zdeno Chara wasn't there. They lost a lot of their stalwarts. And it was like, oh, Charlie, like, we need you. And he stepped up. He had a really good season last year. He was a very, very big part of that Boston Bruins team. And he's being rewarded for it, rightfully so. And I don't mind this deal. I think it's a good deal for the team and for the player. Charlie, I don't think, like, much like the Brady Tkachuk contract, much like all the contracts we've seen recently, it's a futures contract. And will he grow into a $9.5 million player in year 6 and 7? Will this look like a good deal? I think it will. So it was necessary. The weakness of the Bruins for the last few years, in my opinion, has been their defense. And this has slowly grown into a pretty good strength of their team. Matt Grizzlick has really improved. I like the way he plays. Brandon Carlo, he's a good defenseman somewhat. I don't think he's, you know, the guy the Bruins think he is. I think he's a 4 or 5 guy, whereas they have him as a, you know, a 2-3 guy. But, you know, he's a decent defenseman. And then I agree with you, Charlie. He's a 1A. Like, he's an excellent, excellent top 10, top 11, top 12 defenseman in the NHL. So I like the signing. The Bruins needed to do it. You know, they had a tough break with Krejci this offseason. They haven't really made that big of a splash. They had Taylor Hall last season. That was a good pickup, but they needed to keep McAvoy. This was a mandatory thing for Cam Neely to do, and it's done. They can check that box. They can kind of move on, you know, start working on Tuca, maybe start trying to get some supplemental scoring. They have been in on the mix with Jack Eichel. You know, some interesting news just came to light. Why don't you fill us in on the Jack? As the Eichel turns, someone sent me a message. They're like, you've had all these soap opera things about Jack Eichel, but you haven't done General Hospital, which is the low-hanging fruit. It's like General Hospital, Jack Eichel, surgery. And I don't know why. I apologize. I should have, you know, put two and two together. My soap opera game is apparently not that strong. The only soap opera I watched as a kid growing up was Coronation Street, which no one knows because it's like a strictly Canadian soap opera that was, well, it's not even Canadian, it's British. So that my mom watched that every single day. So I was like, Coronation Street. I'm like, no one's going to understand that reference. So As the Eichel Turns, what is the next chapter, Tim, of As the Eichel Turn? Has Jack's twin brother came back to Buffalo?
Eichel Hospital. really interesting little segment from on ESPN, Emily Kaplan, who's just really been like kind of the center of all the news since ESPN, the new season launched. But she commented that five teams are still in on the Eichel deal. And actually, there was a trade that was about to go down last week, and then somehow Thursday or Friday it died out. But she said it was imminent, and it's probably going to be imminent again any day now. But the interesting thing was that of the five teams in on him, all five of them have agreed to let him get the surgery that he wants if they acquire him, which to me is a pretty remarkable thing. Like, what do you take away from that?
That's an interesting take. I just think it's the teams, they've done their due diligence. They've done some research and they're comfortable. They must be comfortable with the surgery. What this says to me, though, is there must be some kind of clauses in this contract where if he does get the surgery and it ends up bad, they can terminate the contract. That's what this, I don't know why a team would just take a risk like this. So the actual fine print of this contract will be very interesting because there's a lot of just, there's a lot of things that could happen. He could get the surgery. He could be Jack Eichel. He could be the guy. He could get the surgery. It could go sideways and he could never step on the ice again. He could get the surgery and it could affect him his whole playing career. And he's not the same Jack Eichel. So there will be a lot of just asterisks in the contract. We'll let him get the contract, but if he doesn't come back for 2 years, that first rounder turns into a third rounder. We can let him get the surgery, and if he comes back and he plays well, everything's good. So it'll be interesting to see the terms of this contract, but teams want Jack Eichel, you know, and obviously Buffalo is stubborn. I wonder if this makes Kevin Adams, now that all these other teams are saying, you know what, we're cool with it, if it makes him second guess his stance on the surgery. It's like you're selling a house. Jack Eichel is the house. The house needs a new kitchen. Any good realtor will tell you, you fix the kitchen yourself, you'll get more of a return on it. You spend 10 grand on the kitchen, you can jack up the price by 40 grand. If I have a healthy Jack Eichel, I'm getting three first rounder and a prospect. If I have a subpar Jack Eichel, who there's a big question mark around him, I'm getting one first rounder. So, but then there's the risk of maybe the kitchen's going to cost me 40 grand at the end of the day, and I'm not going to make any money, or maybe the market tanks. There's a lot of what ifs in this whole scenario, but I don't know what the value is for Jack Eichel right now. I'm very, very interested to see what these teams are going to offer. The fact that there's five teams circling, this is good for Buffalo. It's very, very good. And once I thought the Rangers were out, I was like, gosh, there's going to be one or two teams that are going to be vying for Eichel. But the fact that there's five, Kevin Adams is, he's in a good position right now to negotiate. So who do you know the teams, Tim? I know you're an insider. I know a few of them. I know it's probably Calgary and Vegas. I saw the Bruins were interested in the Anaheim and the LA. Those are, I think, the five are. So it'll be interesting if there was a trade imminent last week. Man, if there's a trade that goes down, my prediction of Jack Eichel playing before Evander Kane, I'm doubling down. I'm like, it's a no-brainer. So I don't know what, any other thoughts on this? Cause it's definitely an interesting situation.
I mean, the reason I thought it was remarkable because it doesn't make the Sabres look good. And maybe it's just the posturing by these other teams to say that because it, you know, is not on their, he's not on their books right now, but it makes the Sabres look like they're holding out only for like ego or principle or pride at this point. We're like, hey, they don't want to be wrong. So there's not going to let them get the deal and just, and to get the surgery and just trade them. So I don't think it looks good for them that all these other teams are saying, yeah, no problem. You can get that surgery if we acquire you. And they're not letting them do it, even though they have them on the roster. So it seems like they're just sticking to their guns at this point and maybe not doing what's best for them.
Well, I think they're taking the advice of their doctors and they're just kind of rolling with that. I don't know. I don't think it's them looking stubborn by any means. I think it's teams willing to take a gamble. And the Sabres at this stage in their, you know, the franchise, I don't think it behooves them to have a healthy Jack Eichel going out there. They're not going to win. Like they're not going to make, they have made their status for the next 5 years. They did that this offseason by trading Ristolainen and trading Reinhart, getting rid of everybody. They're regrouping, they're rebuilding around Hofstra and Cousins and these guys. So Eichel doesn't fit in those plans. So what good does it do them to try to get this, you know, surgery no one's ever gotten in the NHL? What if it goes south? Then they're stuck with this guy on the books for the next however many years, 5 years, paying them $50 million. So I understand they're protecting their asset. They're not going to go out and just do this, you know, surgery that no one knows how it's going to end up. So I don't think they're being stubborn. I don't think this is a bad look on Buffalo. It's a team willing to take a gamble. you know, and where do you gamble, Tim? What part of the country? Vegas. It's all coming together. Vegas is going to get them. They're going to trade. Who are they going to trade? Braden McNabb. He's going back to Buffalo. There you go. I just solved the mystery. All right, what else are we talking about, Tim? I don't, as the Eichel turns, needs to move on to another day.
I know. The Wings Lightning game was a standout for me last night.
What a game, boy. Wow. Yeah.
So the highlight, one of the highlights, Tyler Bertuzzi scored 4 goals last night. I didn't see all of them. I saw one of them was an absolute just beautiful goal. It was like a 1-on-2 against Hedman and Sergachev, which is their top pairing. They usually don't even play together, but their two best defensemen. And he threaded the needle. He split the defense and scored on Vasilevsky. A beautiful goal, like between the legs. It was really good. But it wasn't enough to beat these guys. So the Red Wings have 2 different 3-goal leads, and they blew them twice. And then And then, I mean, once the game goes to overtime, you know the Lightning are going to win. The Red Wings have already lost at that point.
Well, especially when you're up by 3 goals and there's 7 minutes left. In an NHL hockey game, if you're up by 3 with 7 minutes left, you can punch it. Like, you're going to win that game 99.9% of the time. But all right, go ahead.
Well, they lost. That's my point. Yeah. So it's got to be disheartening for them. A couple, you know, other key things that I thought were cool. Mo Sider, friend of the show, and I think he's going to become one of my favorite players. He had this cool little thing. Did you see this clip with him and Hedman between the whistles?
What did they do? Were they talking to each other, saying, "Hi, I'm Mo."
In front of the bench, Hedman had the puck, just like it was like a TV timeout, and Sider like is skating by him and takes the puck away from him, just because, I don't know, just picking on Hedman or something. And then Hedman turns and like gives him a nice stick tap, like under the arm in the armpit. So Sider turns to confront him, and Sergachev's comes at him, and Sider like drops him, and there's a big scrum. It's just this cool moment from Sider not backing down, picking on arguably the best defenseman in the league, and just kind of making his mark out there. The problem that comes with that is he's going to have a target on his back if he acts that way, right? And he came on our show and said he's never fought, doesn't know how to fight. And he told him, like, if you play your game, you're going to have to answer the bell at some point. That's not even playing the game. This is just extracurriculars after the whistle.
Yeah, and especially if you're doing that to the Victor Hedmans of the world, you will have to answer that bell, especially if you're a rookie. Someone's going to test your mettle, and we'll see how he stands up. He's a big kid. You know, he told us he loves to play the physical game. He loves to throw the big hits and get in scrums and do that sort of thing. So Mo's going to have to back it up one of these times. You know, we'll see how he's a tough – I think he's tough. You know, he hits, he plays the physical game. He better be tough or else he's going to have to change his game pretty quick, because as sad as it is, I don't like this side of the game. If you throw big hits, you are going to have to get in fights. I don't like that. I've always kind of thought that was a bad part of the game. If you throw a good clean hit, someone's going to challenge you, but it is what it is. It's a part of the game. And he'll have to answer for some of his big hits or his shenanigans like this, taking the puck from Hedman. Good for him. Stir it up, baby. Like, there's no expectations in Detroit. Get after it. You know, make your mark on the NHL. He's going to be a good one. I agree. I don't think he's going to be my favorite player. I think it's a bold statement, Tim. You just maybe got a little man crush on him. But I like whatever you need to say to yourself. Mo Sider, you're all in. I like it. He played well. Who gave Bertuzzi that pass right up the middle? Our guy, Mo Sider. He got 2 assists that game. Gets on the board. Very nice. There was a little ugly incident, though. A little fisticuff, a little sucker punch, a little Todd Bertuzzi special. And who do you know, the most unlikeliest guy did it? Dylan Larkin, captain of the Detroit Red Wings. Red Wings. Say that 5 times fast. So he gets hit from Joseph. What's Joseph's first name? Curtis?
Matthew.
Matthew Joseph. So it's a dirty hit on Larkin. You know, Joseph catches him in a very vulnerable spot. Larkin goes into the boards. He's rightfully so upset. He's looking for Joseph. Joseph's skating away. He's like, I'm out of here. Larkin says, not so fast. Whammy, sucker punch right in the side of the head. Joseph goes down, ensuing scrum, rightfully so. He's going to get a pretty hefty suspension. He'll be the second suspension this year because Landeskog already took the first one. So what do you think? What did you think of the play? I thought it was, he was fired up. You know, he's passionate. When you get hit like that, like, I'm going to quote Steve McIntyre, your wires cross. This has only happened to me a couple times in my life where I just thought someone wronged me and I wanted to just exact revenge on anybody in my perimeter. And he just went after, like, he obviously wanted to confront him. He just came up. He's like, I'm swinging. Let's go. Luckily, he left his glove on. If his glove was off, this could have been really, really bad. So I don't know his suspension history. I don't know if you could pull it up real quick. I doubt he's ever been suspended ever in his career, going back to infancy. So if I'm Peros, I'm giving him one or two games. I think that's a fair suspension for him. He was in the heat of the moment. Obviously, I don't think he intended to sucker punch him, but he did. You know, you can't judge his thoughts. You judge his actions. So he sucker punched a guy two, maybe three, but I'm usually dead wrong with this stuff. So he's probably going to get 25. So I don't know how George Peros kind of judges all these things, but he will get a suspension. He has to. He has a hearing. Do you know if it's in person or over the phone?
It's Tim? Not in person.
All right. So it's going to be less than five. I think it'll be two. That's the range. I don't know. What do you think? You saw it. You're a Detroit insider. Well, what did you hear? What are you hearing out of Detroit, Tim?
I've been on the phones all day trying to get behind this thing.
Multiple phones. Not one.
No.
Multiple.
Three. I have three on my desk. I liked it in the moment. Like, I don't like guys taking cheap shots, and he should be penalized, even if he's not suspended, which I think he will be. I'm sure there's a fine coming at the minimum. But I like guys playing with, like, an edge. I like them kind of having that passion in the game. Didn't like the hit he took and went after the guy. His glove was on, like you said. The cool thing was right after that, he punched Joseph, and immediately, before even looking around, Larkin shed his mitts because he knows he just started something and someone's going to come after him. So he's, like, ready to lead by example, be physical, drop the gloves, whatever. So I think you do want to see that from your captain. It's too bad that maybe took it a step too far, but at least he was ready to answer the bell. And maybe it seems like not something you'd usually see from Dylan Larkin. So maybe we're going to see him maybe step up or round out his game a little bit. He certainly is wearing the C with some kind of responsibility there. So it'll be interesting to see. I'll keep working the phone, but in the meantime, I liked it. I did.
You like a good sucker punch. That just kind of sums
not
up
the sucker you. Punch. Not the sucker punch.
You're the only guy. You're the only media podcast guy, I guarantee you, that will have this take. What'd you think of Larkin's play? Loved it. Loved it.
You didn't listen to my whole thing. I said I don't love the punch, but overall I like the guy playing with that kind of passion. And part of it's because it's Dylan Larkin. You just don't expect it. If one of the Kachucks had done it or something, I'm sure I'd be having the opposite take.
That's true. You know what else is true? I watched this game on ESPN Plus because it made it so easy, Tim. I was like, which game am I going to watch tonight? There was bing, 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 six or seven options. I said, you know what? I'm going to watch this one now. I'm going to switch to this one. If I had a TV, for Pete's sake, I could have watched two at one time. Or if I had split screen, something fancy like that, you can have multiple games going on at one time. You could set up your phone, your iPad, your TV, your computer. If you wanted to, you could set up a whole just surround TVs everywhere, watch every single game. The reason is ESPN Plus lets you watch all the games in market, out of market. You can catch thousands of games throughout the year. It's an amazing, amazing thing you got to get. You got to go to ESPNplus.com/NHL/gloves. Check out all the NHL action. They're really pushing the NHL. They're really giving it a ton of airtime. So it's fun to see. They're doing really cool stuff. They got Charles Barkley, for Pete's sake, new graphics, new camera angles. It's a really good thing. And then on top of that, you get everything else. You get the UFC stuff. You get some all other sports. They got a ton of stuff. Tim, you know, I'm on there checking it out. The 30 for 30 library, it's fantastic. They actually wanted to make a movie on me. Did you know that?
I know.
I turned them down. They got to show me the Doremi, baby. Like, I'm not just going to let them do it for free. Show me the money. I'm like Cuba Gooding Jr. You got to show me the green if you want me to play ball. But you don't have to show much green if you want to play ball with ESPN Plus. So go to ESPNplus.com/NHL/gloves. Get yourself some ESPN action. Every game you want. It's super cool. And you get all this other stuff like we talked about. All right, Tim. With that being said, we're moving on to the Boston Bruins again. What did I say before this season? Sleepers, guys you should pick up. A little man named Swayman, a little goalie named Swayman. I thought he was going to split 50-50. Lo and behold, that little stinker's the starting goalie for the Boston Bruins in game one. What did you think? Is this a shock? You're a Boston insider. You're plugged in to the whole scene in Boston. You and Gronk, you just ran that town when you were there. What are the Bruins thinking? What are they saying? Because you figure you give Ullmark $20 million. He's going to come in. He's going to be your number one guy. What happened? Why is Swayman getting the pipes in the first game, Tim?
It's really just about the preseason performance. Swayman played really well, and Allmark played really not well. So I thought they would still give Allmark the job for game one, just given the contract that he's making. And, like, the message in the offseason was that they brought him in to kind of be Tuukka's replacement. But Swayman earned that job. And the discourse right now in Boston is that it's Swayman's job to lose. So if he keeps playing well, I mean, obviously there's still going to be a split, but it's going to be more of a 1-2 situation and less of a 1A, 1B type of situation, which we thought it would be. So I'm surprised by it. But I don't know that it doesn't mean – I mean, the sample size with Swayman is still so small. I don't know how many NHL games he's under his belt. Do you have?
Yeah, he played 10 last year. He had a good sample size. He went 7-3 with a .945 save percentage and a 1.5 goals against. That's a pretty good sample size. So it's not bad. Like you said, he did nail the preseason. Allmark was 0-2, and he was at .839 save percentage. That's garbage.
Yeah.
So it was an easy decision for Bruce Cassidy to make. But still, if Swayman ends up, you know, being the guy and he's their starter, does this, like, it's going to make it hard for you to bring back Tuukka Rask, does it not? Because if Swayman's the guy, your backup's goalie's making $5 million a season, what is there room for Tuukka Rask in this crease? I don't know. I'm sure they can find a way, but boy, oh boy, it's a good problem to have. I like this Swayman kid. He's good. Allmark, he'll get better. He was a good goaltender in Buffalo. He obviously had a bad preseason, but you can't judge him for that. We're gonna, you know, let him have a little bit of more of a runway to show us what he's got in Boston. But I don't know, Jeremy Swayman. Who would have thought? Me, because I told you to draft him in your fantasy team. I hope you did. If you didn't, I blame you. I totally blame you. Another game I wanted to touch on, Tim. The Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators. Everyone thought Ottawa was left for dead. They just signed Brady Tkachuk. He wasn't – see his entrance. You know, they show him on the Jumbotron. Usually a guy would just go and wave. He's pumping up the crowd. He's like, let's go, like raising his hands. He's getting the fans into it. They worked the Toronto Maple Leafs last night. You know, if it wasn't for Peter Mrazek and Jack Campbell, the game would have been 6-7-1. I feel like Ottawa outplayed in the first and second period. Did you see any of this, the highlights, any of the stuff, Tim, or were you busy just watching Bruins, just tickers going by – Charlie McAvoy and just started downing Sam Adams because you just loved it so much?
Yeah, the second one. I didn't watch the game.
Do you just specifically drink Sam Adams, or will you, you know, go outside of the New England area for your beers?
I'll go outside of Sam Adams, but I stick to New England beers only, obviously.
What is another New England brew that I don't know about?
Harpoon is in Boston. Have you had those beers?
No, I've never even heard of Harpoon.
They're pretty big in New England. They're like founders here. But no, I didn't watch that game.
It was a good game. It's like I said at the start of the show, it's concerning for Toronto. Their defense looked atrocious. I don't know what's happening with Hall and Muzzin. They looked awful. They were just as bad as Seth Jones was Chicago in his debut. They were giving Ottawa all kinds of time, all kinds of room, everywhere on the ice. And if you want to be a Toronto Maple Leafs team, you want to run and gun, you have to take care of your own end. It was amazing how bad those two were. Like, they were just giving Ottawa all, and not just like on the sides behind the net. They were giving him room in front of the net. They were giving him room on the rush. Their gap control was terrible. I don't know what happened. Maybe this is just the first couple of games hiccups, but boy, oh boy, did Toronto look really bad defensively. Thank goodness for the goalies, like I said, but it's funny. If you look at the results from the first couple of games, like, if you were gambling on the games, you would have lost every single bet, because all the teams that you expected to be bad, they won. Buffalo, LA, Ottawa, all these teams that you were expecting to be garbage this year, they all won in pretty decisive, you know,
Anaheim.
So it was a very upset first couple of days. But I hearken back to last year when Ottawa and Toronto, they played in Ottawa's first game in Ottawa, and Ottawa beat them pretty decisively. I think it was a 4-1 game. And everyone was like, oh, this is going to be a good series. Ottawa's going to have a good season. Ottawa went on to lose the next 9 games, and they were completely out of it for the rest of the season. So I don't want to get too excited for Ottawa. They did look really good. You know, they had a lot of jump in their game. Toronto looked very sluggish, disinterested. I don't know if they're just trying to get to the playoffs or whatever, but that's not going to cut it. So It'll be interesting to see how Ottawa answers. They play again this Saturday. We'll see if Brady Tkachuk is in the lineup. They said they're going to give him a week and a bit to kind of get his legs under him, get him back in the team. He'll have the C on his chest, I would imagine. They're going to let him wear the A for a couple months, and they're going to give him the C. He's the captain of that team. That's set. But another thing I noticed this game, or not this game, this last night games, the LA Kings looked really good. They came out, and it was like the old is new again. Kopitar was flying. Drew Doughty is flying. Dustin Brown was flying. They looked like really dangerous team. All three of those guys were buzzing around the ice. The LA Kings, you know, they looked pretty strong. And mind you, it's the first game. Let's not get too excited. But it was pretty neat to see LA doing well, Ottawa doing well. Buffalo looked really strong. Kyle Okposo, Craig Anderson, who would have thought a 40-year-old starting goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres would just have the start of his career. He played really well. So it was kind of neat to see the old guys, you know, kind of putting it to the kids a little bit for the first game. I don't think it's going to last, but if it stands right now, Mitch Marner's going to get 0 points this year. Isn't that exciting? It's kind of neat.
I saw John Bouchacross from ESPN tweeted something about Kopitar this morning or last night, where he said he talked to Dustin Brown this summer when they added Philip Deneau. It said adding Deneau will open up Kopitar's offensive game. He'll be able to focus more on scoring and less on the shutdown role. And then what does he do in the first game? 3 goals and 2 assists. So, yeah, I think there's something to that. And, again, it's one game. Who knows how it'll play out over the course of the season. But it's pretty exciting for them right now.
Yeah, Deneau is a good pickup. I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves. I obviously dump on him a little bit just because he doesn't put the points up. But he does all the little things you want. He's going to shut down the other team's first line. He did it with Montreal with that shutdown line, him, Gallagher, and was it Tatar? They played extremely well versus the other team's top line. So, yeah, he's a good fit. And I think people just think of Kopitar as this, you know, he's a Selke candidate. He's a very responsible forward. The guy's got some pretty good mitts. You know, he's not just a defensive first forward. He puts up some points. When he came into the NHL, he was putting up legit points. He was a point-per-game guy. He was getting 81, 73, 76. It's just he's been focusing on defensive side of the game for the last 2 or 3 years because he's had to, but gosh, in 17, 18, he put up 92 points in 82 games. Like he's a legit offensive threat.
When you were on the Sharks, what was the game plan for Kopitar?
You limit him because he's so strong. I don't think people realize how big he is. Like he's a big body and he's super strong. When he's around the puck, it's hard to push him off of it. He's every bit of 6'3", 230 pounds. So he just kind of got to take away his space. We would always put Logan Couture on him, trying to get in his hip and just take away all the space. Because if you give him room in the zone, he's going to make plays. He had Jeff Carter playing with him. You give Jeff Carter a shot anywhere, he's going to put it upstairs. He scored last night, I think, again for Pittsburgh. So he's lethal. When he was with Kopitar, they were a very dangerous team. Like it was scary. And that's when Dustin Brown was playing really, really good too. So it was always fun playing against Kopitar because he was always smiling, joking around, but he played really, really hard. So hey, if he has a little less responsibilities on the defensive end, if Deneau can take care of those defensive zone draws and you can let Kopitar kind of exert most of his energy in the offensive zone, this LA King team, you never know what they could do. Cause the Pacific, we've said it before, it's wide open. They could sneak in a third or fourth seed in the Pacific division. And once they get to the playoffs, you know, who knows? They got a ton of experience. They've won Stanley Cups before. Yeah. Hey, stranger things have happened. They won the Stanley Cup being the 8th seed before. So we will see how this kind of shakes out, but it's a good start for the LA Kings. It really is. They looked good. Arvidsson, Iafallo, like they all looked really. Brendan Lemieux, friend of the show, pseudo friend of the show, kind of the friend of the show. He dusted
follows the show. Yeah.
Once. But anyways, it was a good start for LA. Good start for Ottawa. Good start for Buffalo. Do I think all three of these teams will maintain? Yeah, well, that remains to be seen, but it's a nice start of the season for these little underdogs, Tim.
I agree. Any other takeaways from the last night's games?
No, I think it was a good first couple days. My Fantrax team is winning, not by much, but we are winning. I started Louis Erickson last night. I don't even think he played, so a little disappointed in that. He didn't garner me any points, but No. Seattle got its first win. Very exciting. First franchise win over Nashville. That was always kind of neat to see a team pop that cherry. Very exciting. But let's do a game, Tim. Let's do a little game to end this episode.
We will, but you just mentioned Fantrax. So I had to check my team. I hadn't checked it today. They're doing really well. I'm winning as well.
So well, how many points you got?
62 versus 42.
I got 68 and a half. That means I'm better than you. But there's some people who have like 150 points. Like there's some guys, because it's a huge league. We had to cap it at 200 just because we had thousands of people who wanted to enter, but we had to cap it at 200. And I think the top guy has got like 130, 140 points. So I don't know who he picked. He must have picked Ovechkin, that guy. He's going to get 80 goals this year. Did you know that, Ovi? 80 goals.
At least.
It's going to be epic. All right, let's do a little game, Tim. We're going to do a little over-under. What do you think?
Yep. Yeah, I'll give you some. I'm going to give you some players and numbers. You tell me if they're going to have over or under these scores. So I'll explain as we go. So the first one, Connor McDavid, over under 135 points.
Oh, way over.
Yeah.
Way over. I think he's pushing 150. The number should have been 150. Yeah, I think he gets he's pushing 160 points this year. That's what I think. I think he's going to maybe average 2 points a game. So that much over. Way over.
Matthews, 48 goals.
The injury scares me. He's already missed two games. He hasn't played yet, so I'm going to go under.
Sabres, Buffalo Sabres, 28 wins.
Well, gosh, yeah, I'm hedging my bets. I already know all they got to do is get 27 and 81. But going under. Sorry, Buffalo.
Cole Caulfield, 24 goals.
He's got 0 goals in 2 games. See, I'm ahead of the game now. So he's not looking too good. I'm going to go under.
Okay. Will the Leafs over under one playoff round win?
I think over. I think this is Toronto's year. I think they're going to make a push and make the Stanley Cup Finals. I like this team. They need to figure out their starts. It's only 2 games. If the Mrazek injury scares me a little bit, but I think they're over one playoff round win.
Okay, Islanders, over under two playoff round wins.
I also have them potentially going to the Stanley Cup Finals. It would not surprise me to see the Leafs and the Islanders in the Eastern Conference Finals. That would be a pretty logical bet for me at this point. So I got them over.
Over under 3.5 coaches fired.
During the season?
During the season.
So the season ends the last day of the year.
Sure.
No, it's way over because there's always a slew of firings after someone's last game. And there's still a few more games left. So I think it's over.
What's your number there, do you think?
6.
Wow, seriously?
5 or 6, yeah.
Over under 59 points for Jack Hughes.
Who is Jack Hughes? Is he the one in Vancouver or New Jersey?
Come on. He's in New Jersey's first overall 2 years ago.
Under. New Jersey is not going to score 59 goals the whole year. They're going to be very offensive depleted. They're going to have a tough time scoring goal. They'll score more than 59. I know that. Disparity letters, but I'll say under. I think he'll get close, 55 points, but I bet you his brother gets more points than he does. That would be a good question. Who gets more points, Quinn or Jack?
I'm going to say Jack.
Who gets more points, Brady or Matthew?
Matthew.
Who gets more points, Seth or Caleb?
Seth.
I think there's no more brothers. Is there any more brothers?
Probably, but I don't. Not off the top of my head.
Who got more points, Henrik or Daniel?
Henrik.
He did?
Yeah. Daniel, he was a goal scorer, but Henrik always had more points.
I sat next to him at the All-Star game. Did you know I made the All-Star game in 2016? It was amazing. He sat next to me in the locker room, and I didn't know who he was.
No,
I had to like look up at the nameplate. Because I was like, Sedin. I looked at him like, hey, glanced up, Henrik.
Did he talk at all?
Yeah, we chatted. It was nice. He sat next to me. It was hard to talk because I had a camera in my stinking face the whole time, but he's a good dude. Quiet, but red hair, whatever that means. So, but he was a good dude. You know what else? Whenever I saw him, it made me hungry because he just has that red hair and I like food that's red. And you know what I need to do when I'm hungry, Tim? I go to DoorDash. How about that transition? It was about as smooth as a piece of sand.
I know where you're going with that.
I was just trying to get to DoorDash somehow. The show's almost over. We got to throw this in here. But you know what else we can throw in there? A sandwich in my mouth. So if I want a sandwich, I'm just killing it today, Tim. It's unbelievable. I go to DoorDash.com. I use promo code GlovesDD if I'm in Canada, GlovesDD USA if I'm in the US, or just US, not USA, excuse me. Use our promo code, get yourself some food. It's a win-win. I say it every time because I mean it. You're going to get 25% off. You're going to get free delivery. It's going to be epic. You're going to get delicious food. It's going to be, the first order is pretty much free, because you figure you get 25% off the order and you save the delivery charge. It's like you're getting a steak dinner for the price of a happy meal. So just go for it, baby. Treat yourself. Get a couple beers with that order. It's fantastic. I use it. Tim uses it. It's delicious. So go to DoorDash.
I might use it tonight.
Are you dumping on my ad? Just cutting right in? Killing me. But yeah, use DoorDash. Go do it. Give us a little shout out. Gloves DD in Canada. Gloves DD US in the States. We really appreciate it. Anything else, Tim, you want to touch on?
I just, going back to Sedin real quick, I wanted to just recall 2 years ago or so, I asked you on the show, who were the players you respected the most? And you said the Sedins. For like all the garbage they took on the ice, they were just harassed and chopped and hacked and all that. And they never complained to the refs. They never said peep. They never retaliated. All they did was put up points. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I still stand by that. They're the pros pro when it comes to hockey players. Like, everybody, for as much junk as they took, they were the pros pro, and everybody respected them for that. And I was on Chicago, and all we did, like, we wanted to murder them when we played Vancouver. Like, it was such a hated, heated rivalry. Like, the things that would, you know, be said in our locker room about those two were very, very intense stuff. And I still respected the heck out of them, just because, you know, we would literally make their lives a living hell. And they would just stand up and skate back to their bench. They would never talk. They would never retaliate. It was amazing, the restraint. I don't know how they did it. They might just do something in Sweden that, like, gives you some kind of virtue to not retaliate. It was amazing to watch. Dave Bolin, who was very, very much of a huge rat, and they were just, like, he was invisible to the Sedins. It was amazing. Yeah. So I respect those guys.
Last over under, Ryan Reeves, 1.5 suspensions.
Under. I think he'll get one, not two.
Yeah, the only thing I was thinking with him was that, I don't know, is the expectation for him to sort of be the bully in this division now? Will he take it too far and cross the line a couple times during the season? But yeah, I think one or two is probably the number.
Well, hence the 1.5, Tim. So it's either one or two. So you either go one. You can't go over and under. You can't just, like, say that.
I'm just telling you where that number came from.
What do you thought it might go over or under?
I'll say under.
Yeah. Oh, great. We're both in agreement then. Fantastic.
Hey, John, is your birthday on Sunday?
No, it was like last week. Why?
I thought we had the same birthday.
You know what? That's the shadiest way to get your birthday out there. It's you millennials are so full of yourself. It's when did you find out was my birthday? Did I ever say anything?
I found out on Twitter through some.
Yeah, because I don't say a word. You know when you've grown up when you don't tell people it's your birthday. You know, because it's just, you know, you don't, it's not always about us. So that's really funny. Is it your birthday on Sunday?
Michael Scott. Driving. Yeah.
I'll be driving down to Disneyland on Sunday. Very exciting. So the next show, I'm going to be on location from Walt Disney World, where dreams come true. It's going to be very exciting. So I'll let you know how that goes. Six kids in Disney. It's going to be very exciting. We're doing
six Magic kids in Kingdom the car for 2 days.
Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and then a water park, Disney water park, wherever that is. So very exciting. We'll do some episodes from Florida. It'll be fun. Maybe we'll go catch you. I'm not going to catch a game. I'm just teasing. But anyways, everybody, I hope you guys have a very good weekend. I appreciate the support and listens. Go out, get some DoorDash, go use ESPN Plus, and give us a 5-star liking on our old feed. Right, Tim?
That is correct.
All right, everybody, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.